What are you doing? There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Truth isn't truth.
I never worked for Russia.
Russia, 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 Russia.
Oh, there she is. Lisa Simpson will now read her essay.
I would like to read a different essay, if I may.
Okay.
The city of Washington was built on a stagnant swamp some 200 years ago, and very little has changed. It stank then, and it stinks now. Only today it is the fetid stench of corruption that hangs in the air.
Ooh, ruckus.
And who did I see taking a bribe but the Honorable President Trump? Don't worry, President Trump. I'm sure you can buy all the votes you need with your dirty money. And this will be one nation under the dollar with liberty and justice for none.
And now it's time to play
What's That Game?
And here's your host, Vince Blake.
Hello! What's that name?
The name game.
The Tim Apple moment just won't go away for Donald Trump, and that's because he will not let it go. Trump's moment with Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple.
We have so many companies coming in. People like Tim, you're expanding all over and doing things that I really wanted you to do right from the beginning. I used to say, Tim, you got to start doing it over here, and you really have. I mean, you've really put a big investment in our country. We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
Tim Apple.
And Tim Cook had some fun with it. He changed his Twitter name to Tim Apple, the emoji.
This is a thing Trump has been known to do, maybe because everyone in his family is named for the company they work for.
Does Trump think that when you run a company, you're named after the product? Mr. President, so you know Bill Gates. I believe it's Bill Windows.
Last March, he appeared with the CEO of Lockheed Martin, Marilyn Hewson.
Marilyn Lockheed. The leading woman's business executive in this country, according to many.
No, her name is not Marilyn Lockheed. She doesn't have the last name of the company that she runs. That's not the way it works. The coverage of Tim Apple has apparently gotten under Trump's skin. At Mar-a-Lago on Friday night with no cameras present, Trump reportedly explained to a group of donors what really happened in what the donors described as one of Trump's weirdest lies ever.
Come on, everybody. I say, now let's play a game. I bet you I could make a rhyme out of anybody's name.
So after Donald Trump called Tim Cook Tim Apple and everybody had a little chuckle over it, the president reportedly told a group of donors at Mar-a-Lago this weekend it never happened. Axios reports Trump told the donors that he actually said Tim Cook Apple, like really fast, and the Cook part of the sentence was soft, but all you heard from the fake news he said was Tim Apple. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Tim Cook Apple doesn't make any more sense than Tim Apple. Tim Cook Apple sounds like how Tarzan would describe someone making a pie. Tim Cook Apple. Tim eat apple. Tarzan loved Tim. Second, the story you want us to believe is that you didn't say we appreciate it very much, Tim Apple. You said we appreciate it very much, Tim Cook Apple. If you're gonna lie, at least improve your situation. Officer, I have not been drinking because I was doing too much cocaine.
It's possible this lie worked on the audience at Trump's house of fancy golf and omelets. So just to be sure,
let's slow that clip way down and boost the volume.
so we can hear the middle part.
We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple. Tim Apple. Tim Apple. Tim Apple. We appreciate it very much, Tim.
Cook, the CEO of
Apple.
Yeah, he said Tim Apple.
Then I say Bo at a B. Then I say the name, then banana. And then I say the name again with an F, third plane, then a feet, phi, and a mo. And then I say the name again with an M this time, and there isn't any name that I can't rhyme.
Of all the serious subjects the president has lied about, well, no one would have cared about this. He misspoke. People do it all. It's not like he called him Tim Kardashian. He said Tim Apple. But still, he had to lie about it. He lies in the same way a four-year-old comes out with his face covered with magic marker, and you go, did you draw on yourself? And they go, oh, no. And so this morning, he offered yet another version of his Tim Apple story.
Applegate.
Incredibly, Trump woke up this morning and doubled down again, this time with an entirely new story. He claimed he combined Tim Cook's name and his company's name because it was faster.
Trump took to Twitter saying, quote,
at a recent roundtable meeting of business executives and long after formally introducing Tim Cook of Apple, I quickly referred to Tim plus Apple as Tim slash Apple as an easy way to save time and words. The fake news was disparagingly all over this, and it became yet another bad Trump story.
Only Trump could claim that he was trying to save time and words by writing a long tweet that takes up time and words.
After no one believed that he secretly whispered his name and title, Trump claimed he was shortening it to save time. Time he could be spending with his kids because, you know, on their deathbed, I think everyone says the same thing.
I have only one regret, that I wasted so much of my life on saying last names instead of occupations. Don't make the same mistakes I did. Little Johnny Paper out.
Of course, the best part of all of this is that Trump now has to double down and do it to everyone.
Oh, there's my friend Elon Tesla. Oh, if it isn't Steven Movies. And there's my buddy Paul Crimes.
And there isn't any name that you can rhyme.
Everyone in Trump's orbit is a habitual liar. They lie about everything from the dumbest things to the most important things. Just take Eric Prince. He's an informal Trump advisor and the former CEO of the mercenary company Blackwater. Prince testified under oath to Congress that he had no official role in the Trump campaign, but in an interview last week, he admitted that he was present at a secret Trump Tower meeting in 2016 with emissaries of several foreign governments. And in the interview, he claimed that he hadn't lied to Congress, even though he obviously did.
How come you didn't mention that meeting to Congress, given it's so relevant to their investigation?
I did. As part of the investigations, I certainly disclosed any meetings. The very, very few I had.
Not in the congressional testimony you gave to the House. We went through it. You didn't mention anything about August 2016 meeting in Trump Tower. They specifically asked you what context you have, and you didn't answer them.
I don't believe I was asked that question.
I've got the transcript of the conversation here.
Sure. I mean, I might have been, I think I was at Trump headquarters or the campaign headquarters.
Trump Tower, August 3rd, 2016. You?
Possible.
Don't you think that's something important to disclose to the House Intelligence Committee while you're under oath?
You did.
You didn't. We just went through the testimony. There's no mention of the Trump Tower meeting in August 2016. Why not?
I don't know if they got the transcript wrong.
Damn. Sudi's going to go from I wasn't asked that question to the transcript was wrong to I was just trying to save time and words. Trump lying about the dumbest things is revealing because it shows that he and his associates lie about anything, from Paul Manafort to Russian collusion to the CEO of his favorite company,
Tim Apple.
The name game.
Last week, the president's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, was sentenced to 47 months in jail for tax and bank fraud, which is much less than the 19 to 24 years prosecutors recommended. And to justify the lenient sentence, the judge in the case said something that didn't really add up.
The judge telling the court just moments ago that he believed that a sentence of 19 to 24 years, as was recommended by the prosecutors in this case, would be excessive for Paul Manafort. The judge then also said, let me read this for you here, Wolf. He said that that Paul Manafort lived an otherwise blameless life.
Well, if you take out all the stuff he's being blamed for, sure. I mean, Ted Bundy lived an otherwise blameless life. And remember, this guy right here stole millions of dollars, committed tax and bank fraud, and in June he went to jail for witness tampering, a crime he committed while he was on house arrest for a different crime. The nicest thing you can say about him is that he's great at multitasking. And Manafort's corruption went beyond financial crimes. He spent virtually his entire career in Washington lobbying on behalf of some of the worst people in the world.
If you look at Manafort's long history of lobbying, it is about as controversial as you can get. He has represented a gallery, a rogues gallery of foreign dictators.
The firm he helped found developed a niche representing a roster of controversial international clients that has been described as the torturer's lobby.
Filipino dictator Marcos, Angolan guerrilla leader Jonas Savimbi, ousted Ukrainian president and Putin ally Viktor Yanukovych.
He lobbied for dictators, set up something called the torturer's lobby, and he was with Bain when they blew up that football field. Manafort wasn't a marginal figure in Trump's orbit. He was the president's campaign chairman. Just listen to that. President, campaign, and chairman. Each one of those words is super important, and yet Republicans talk about him like he was assistant to the regional manager. Here's what Louisiana Senator John Kennedy had to say on Sunday.
Can you
answer
the question, though, on Paul Manafort?
Manafort,
he was charged
points.
With an array
Manafort,
of felonies because of the special counsel's case.
Number one, I was surprised at his sentence. I thought it would be longer. Number two, as I said in the past, Mr. Manafort is a grifter. He used to be a partner with Roger Stone. He's just a sleazoid.
A sleazoid? You sound like one of the guys in Biff's gang from Back to the Future. You should be wearing 3D glasses and holding a skateboard. Now, in sentencing Manafort, the judge noted that the specific charges in this case were not directly related to the question of Russian collusion. He did not say there was no collusion, just that this case was not about collusion. But that didn't stop Trump from twisting his words anyway when he spoke to reporters on Friday.
I feel very badly for Paul Manafort. I think it's been a very, very tough time for him. But if you notice, both his lawyer, a highly respected man, and a very highly respected judge, the judge, said there was no collusion with Russia. It's had nothing to do with collusion. There was no collusion. It's a collusion hoax. It's a collusion witch hoax. I don't collude with Russia.
Did he just call it a witch hoax? All of his catchphrases are starting to blend together now. Trump has the same diction and syntax as a spam email asking for your social security number. Help! I need a monies for a witch hoax. Trump has this habit of taking other people's words out of context and insisting those people exonerated him when they did no such thing, like when his former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, testified before Congress. Cohen said he personally did not possess any definitive evidence of collusion, but Trump insisted that what Cohen had actually said was that there was no collusion at all, although he couldn't seem to make up his mind about whether Cohen was a liar or not.
He lied a lot, but it was very interesting because he didn't lie about one thing. He said no collusion with the Russian hoax. And I said, I wonder why he didn't just lie about that, too, like he did about everything else. I mean, he lied about so many different things. And I was actually impressed that he didn't say, well, I think there was collusion for this reason or that. He didn't say that. He said no collusion. And I was, a little impressed by that, frankly. He could have gone all out. He only went about 95% instead of 100%.
I love that Trump is impressed that Cohen lied 95% of the time, but not 100% of the time. Trump talks about not lying the way the rest of us talk about those guys who climb mountains without any equipment. It's like, well, that's impressive. I could never do that.
There's a man who leads a life of treason. Now he can't believe the trouble he's in. He gave insider polls to Putin and his trolls. Odds are he's in Leavenworth tomorrow. Secret agent Manafort, secret agent Manafort. Hey, they're giving you a jumpsuit and taking away your name. You mention Mueller and he barely twitches. But Deripaska makes him soil his britches. Even at his trial, he had Kilimnik on speed dial. Odds are Trump is his cellmate tomorrow. Secret agent Manafort, secret agent Manafort. Hey, they're giving you a jumpsuit and taking away your name. They say he laundered money and then hid it. He said, oh, no, 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 okay, I did it. A guilty plea he copped. Yeah, he flipped, but then he flopped. Odds are he'll say, pardon me tomorrow. Secret agent Manafort, secret agent Manafort. Hey, they're giving you a jumpsuit and taking away your name. Yeah, they're giving you a jumpsuit emblazoned with your name.
Paul Manafort facing 7.5 years in prison. A federal judge in D.C. tacking more than 3 years onto a sentence handed down last week in the Eastern District of Virginia. That judge, Amy Berman Jackson, delivering her rebuke of Manafort and his lawyers in waves of repudiations of his lies, his crimes, and his excuses. Jackson describing Manafort's lack of remorse and his breach of a cooperation agreement in stark terms, with a summation that defines this moment in legal and political history, telling the court, quote, all of this appeared to reflect his ongoing contempt for and the belief that he had the right to manipulate these proceedings and the court order did not apply to him. All of this was a problem for me because court is one of those places where facts still matter. And prosecutors in Manhattan, apparently another place where facts and crimes still matter, effectively pardon-proofing Manafort's sentence moments after Judge Jackson issued her sentence. The Manhattan DA indicted Manafort on 16 counts of fraud and conspiracy. And if you need a more glaring example of how far we are operating from normal, pardon-proofing a convicted liar, cheat, and perpetrator of fraud from the President of the United States is what happened today.
Well, I feel very badly for Paul Manafort. And, you know, he worked for Ronald Reagan very successfully. He worked for John McCain. He worked for Bob Dole and many others for many years. And I feel badly for him.
Will you pardon Paul Manafort?
I have not even given it a thought as of this moment. It's not something that's right now in my mind. I do feel badly for Paul Manafort.
We have Donald Trump's signed checks revealed by Michael Cohen for hush money payments that he confessed were crimes. We have the House Oversight Chairman saying they need testimony now from Trump attorneys about some of those payments. And then New York prosecutors saying the Trump Organization falsely accounted for the payments as, quote, legal expenses. Cohen famously arranged the payment from Donald Trump to Stormy Daniels for $130,000, Trump's company reimbursing him with a series of payments. Now, that may not be a crime on its own, but it could be evidence in a wider case against President Trump.
The Southern District of New York may be sitting there with Trump's income tax returns. And what's going on, when Trump paid Cohen to reimburse him for the payments to Stormy Daniels, he listed that as a retainer and presumably deducted those payments.
But is this, and, like, are you Are you basically imagining an Al Capone situation where after everything that's happened, he gets in trouble for tax deductions?
Perhaps.
Al Capone was jailed for tax fraud. We know Donald Trump knows all about Al Capone. In fact, that's who he compared Paul Manafort to.
With Paul Manafort, who really is a nice man, you look at what's going on with him, it's like Al Capone.
2005 tax case.
Or a case that I guess is very old. It's just a sad thing. It's a very sad thing for our country to see this.
It's like Al Capone. It's like my campaign manager's like a convicted gangster. This is the defense.
Al Capone.
We have no Mr. Capone.
Get him.
We have no Mr. Capone.
I said, John. I said.
Something you want here? I don't care.
You don't care. Come out here, Capone. You want to fight? You want to fight you and me right here? That's it. Come on. What's the matter? You afraid to come out from behind your men? You afraid to stand up for yourself?
You want to do it now?
No.
You want to
yeah.
go to mat now?
Come on, you can't, son of a.
What?
Easy.
You talk to me like that in front of my son? You and your family.
Me? You got nothing. You got a lot of talk in the bed. You're here because you got nothing. You got nothing in court. You don't got the bookkeeper. You got nothing. Nothing. And if you were a man, you would have done it now. You don't got a thing, you punk.
I can only tell you one thing. Again, that was proven today. No collusion. There's no collusion. There's no collusion. And there hasn't been collusion. And it was all a big hoax.
If there is going to be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation. It just doesn't work that way.
President Donald Trump's rhetoric about the Russia investigation might seem unprecedented. But over 40 years ago, President Richard Nixon used similar tactics to defend himself against Watergate.
I believe the time has come to bring that investigation and the other investigations of this matter to an end. 1 year of Watergate is enough.
There are many differences. Trump is not Nixon, and the Russia investigation is not Watergate. But both scandals led to the departure of senior officials, dozens of criminal charges, and allegations of a cover-up.
I had no prior knowledge of the Watergate break-in.
Nixon, much like Trump, always relished the opportunity to publicly proclaim his innocence.
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
When you talk about innocent, I am truly not involved in any form of collusion with Russia, believe me. That's the last thing I can think of to be involved in.
President Nixon touted his cooperation with investigators, as did President Trump.
As far as the investigation, nobody has ever been more transparent than I have instructed our lawyers. Be totally transparent. I believe we've given them 1.4 million pages of documents.
I have provided to the special prosecutor voluntarily a great deal of material. I believe that I have provided all the material that he needs to conclude his investigations and to proceed to prosecute the guilty and to clear the innocent.
Both presidents later shifted their approach and went on the attack. They argued that the probes distracted from the real issues, and they distanced themselves from key players wrapped up in the investigation.
I first learned from news reports of the Watergate break-in. I was appalled at this senseless, illegal action.
It doesn't implicate me in any way. There was no collusion, there was no obstruction, there was no nothing.
But now we must move on from Watergate to the business of the people. And the business of the people is continuing with the initiatives we began the first administration.
They ought to get to the end of it because I think the American public is sick of it.
Both Nixon and Trump fired the people overseeing their respective investigations, Archibald Cox and James Comey, raising questions of obstruction of justice.
In all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice.
There was no obstruction. I mean, unless you call obstruction the fact that I fight back, I do fight back. I really fight back. I mean, if you call that obstruction,
That's fine.
The Twilight Bite with a cast iron mask, the Antichrist with a 5 o'clock shadow, Tricky Dick is sick with prickly paranoia. He's a president, he's a great imposter, he's 1,000 years old, but he looks pretty good for a prehistoric telepathic fossil. He's a wicked man with an evil plan, and a star for nothing just to get his way. Now she stands resplendent in a plain cloth coat as a mummified remains are wheeled around. Paul's cannibal pals, they cook the best, but his barbecues ever make the news. Not the White House backyard baby roast fiestas. And the shyest vets and his apron says on scarlet letters, hail to the chef. Richard Nixon sees you.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.